Well, last night was a heartbreaker. It really was. And we could kind of see it coming. I mean, let's be real. Not just entering game four, entering game three. And to a certain extent, August and September. I mean, they just hadn't played great baseball in 4 months. I mean, they really hadn't. They hadn't played great baseball in 4 months. All right, for more on all this, let's welcome in the King, Howard Eskin. Good morning, King.
Good. What's good about it? What's good about it? Philadelphia is in.
We're talking to you, Howard. That's a good thing.
It's a figure of speech, Howard. How about that? All right. So, Howard, what is your reaction to the end of the Philly season? What's your main reaction?
Well, my reaction is I'm not surprised. I'm not surprised because I've talked about this. I don't like the lineup. It's flawed. Against playoffs, it's not a good playoff lineup, and I've continued to say that. And it doesn't work. Number one, I would fire every single analytics person, every one of them. Get them away. Send them. I don't care where you send them. Send them away from Philadelphia. They, I think, are the main reason that this lineup is the way it is, because analytics say this guy hits here and this guy's going to be good. And it's all nonsense. It's not baseball. Kansas City won a game, and obviously they're not going to win the series. They won with 10 singles. You know why? Because they put the ball in play. It wasn't a team loaded with strikeouts. That's number one. Get rid of every one of those people and play the game the way it's supposed to be played, and let Rob Thompson, with all the years of baseball, have a feel for the game without a computer. Number two, and the lineup's flawed, I've said that, they only have one starting outfielder. They only have one, and that's Castellanos.
Yeah.
The other two guys are fourth outfielders on almost any other team in baseball. It doesn't work. Where's Reese Hoskins? You know, I thought that was a mistake when they didn't re-sign him. Because Harper wanted to play first, if you had kept Harper in the outfield, then you would have had two outfielders. Hoskins would have been good for this lineup. That's another thing. And that's Dave Dombrowski's fault. Bad trades is Dave Dombrowski's fault. And I like that the guy is a terrific baseball guy. No question how good a baseball guy he is. But in his past, he seized the moment. He went after it. And Joe, I think you brought up Dallas Green earlier, but I'm going to bring him up for another reason. Dallas and I talked all the time. What a terrific, terrific baseball guy. And he said, when you're there, you've got to seize, and you have that team, seize the moment. You make trades. You do trade your young players because if you're a good organization, you'll be able to draft and develop more good young players. Seize the moment, which Dave Dombrowski didn't do with his bullpen. He didn't do with his outfield. And you've got to do it and take a shot. It's just stop blaming Rob Thompson. The manager is really not the reason. If you change the manager, you still have the same players. And I'll throw this at you guys. Would you trade? You're talking about trades? JT Realmuto is really on the back end of his career. I mean, solid catcher. He's not going to give you much offensively anymore. He's been hurt. He was hurt again this year. I don't know, and I don't know what you can do. I don't know what you can do with this team. But those are my
No, I think you say a lot thoughts. Of really good points, Howard. I think you bring up a lot here that makes sense.
Howard, there were some players that we've really come to depend upon that just sort of the bottom fell out in this one. Jeff Hoffman, I just never would have expected it. What happened in the postseason with him?
Well, maybe everybody expected too much. He did a lot of good things in the regular season until that last series in Washington. I don't know if he's tired. I don't know if the moment's too big for him. This team doesn't have a closer. The closer they got, not even a closer. He's just not that good.
He's not that good.
Jeff Hoffman is, you know, who is your closer? Who is your guy? I mean, Alvarado, I was done with him last year, even though he had a kind of a good year. I was done with him. Who is your closer? It's just...
Well, it doesn't feel like...
Kind of thought,
Alvarado's going to be considered moving forward.
Alvarado moving forward,
is he a guy that they're just not willing to take chances with any longer? It felt like
I'm done with him.
I think they move off of him.
It feels that way.
Howard, which player?
You've got to find a closer. You know, Jeff Hoffman, John, I think you kind of, with your question, implied that Jeff Hoffman could have been the closer. You just can't throw a guy into that. I mean, it's just the moment. It may have been too big.
It might have been. Howard, which player, hitter or pitcher, disappointed you the most in the series?
Well, everybody's pointing to Bohm. I could go through a litany of players.
I know. Is it Trey Howard? I mean, Trey
is.
You know
Trey
what I mean? Like that. That's why I put him above a guy like Hoffman. Hoffman's making no money. Trey Turner's making $300 million. I go right to Trey. He disappointed me the most.
Well, wait a minute. Don't you have to talk to the assistant general manager, Bryce Harper, on the situation with
Trey
Turner?
I think you have to. Howard, what the heck happened with Alec Bohm? Like, there's clearly a lot more than just his hand hurt.
I don't know. But I'm not trading Alec Bohm. I think he's got great potential. I saw that he was one of the guys that tried to make contact and went with pitches, you know, before he got hurt. And at the beginning of this season, he was the player. There's no way that I would trade Alec Bohm. Absolutely none. You know, and look at another outfielder, Matt Vierling. I mean, I'm bringing up names. What did they get for him? Look, he had a nice year with Detroit, and they're still in the playoffs.
I think that was the Soto trade, I think.
Yeah, I think it was in Cody Clemens. But the thing is, I'm not trading Alec Bohm. I don't know what happened to him. But here's another thing I am absolutely done with. And I just beat my head in trying to think about what is Schwarber still leading off for? That's got to stop. I mean, Harold.
I don't think that was the issue, Howard. He had a bad series, but I don't think that was the issue.
You know what? When he hits home runs, you said so many leadoff home runs. How about hitting home runs with men on base? How about it's not going to change. He's still going to hit home runs. I want to utilize, when you're not hitting, you've got to utilize your speed. You can't do it with Schwarber at the top of your lineup. You just can't do it. I still stay, and I think Stott would be, he was 2 years ago, a more disciplined hitter. I think he could be a leadoff hitter. I think he would take.
He's got to get better, though, Howard. I mean, Stott took a big step backwards this year. Theoretically, I like your point, but I mean, he's got to be able to get on base 36% of the time, and he wasn't even close.
Yep, he doesn't even know where he's hitting in the lineup. I mean, if you don't try to start the season without Schwarber leading off, I would try Stott and Turner. Maybe it gives them more responsibility, and if they get on base, you generate some excitement within the team, not just with the fans, by running. I think both of them had over 30 stolen bases last year. Neither one of them got close this year. It's just because Stott's not going to be able to steal where he is. If Schwarber gets on base, how can Turner steal? You've got to utilize speed when you're not scoring runs. And this team, without home runs, it's obvious. Without home runs, they have trouble putting the ball in play.
Scoring
runs.
That's right. Howard,
you've got to play the game the right way. Play it the right way. And Rob Thompson is not the problem. He is not the problem.
All right, so Howard, let's end with where we started, Rob Thompson. So I agree with you. I would not fire him, but many want him fired. Do you think John Middleton will fire him?
I would say, I don't know if John has patience or not. John is one of the best owners in baseball, one of the best owners in sports, and he passion. But I'm going to tell you something else. I'm going to relay a little story. Yesterday at the Eagles, I'm not going to say who it was, an Eagles person comes up to me, says, I'm not really that big on baseball, but why do they keep on talking about the World Series instead of we got to win the next game, we got to win the next game? And I said, it was the owner in spring training who said he wanted his trophy back. And you know what? And that stuck in everybody's head. And you got to focus on what's immediately in front of him. But I think John Middleton will have patience. I think Rob Thompson's going to be here next year. I think he should be here next year. because if you change the managers, you still, I know you can't change all the players, but you still can't change the players. You've got to do something with that team, with that lineup, and it's embarrassing to have two outfielders or a fourth outfielder.
Yeah, right.
And obviously Trey Turner has got to be better. We know he's not a good defensive player, but he's got to be way better offensively. Somebody's got to change.
Well said, Howard. Well said.
Howard, do we need a new hitting coach?
I would say yes. I would say if you're going to blame somebody, blame the hitting coach. And everybody talks about, he's so great, he's so great. Then why do they keep on changing teams? He's only great if you can get the hitters to do what you think is right, and apparently he couldn't. Apparently,
didn't seem like it.
You know what impresses me about? I see Barry Bonds, who I don't like a little bit,
right,
choked up on the bat, and he still hit all those home
runs. That's right.
JT Realmuto is one of the few players on this team that actually chokes up on the bat. You can still hit the ball hard, and that approach is not taken by a lot of.
Yeah, no, it's a great point, Howard. It's amazing. Bonds is one of the last guys to do it consistently, and he's the best baseball player the last 50 years. So.
Yep.
Howard, stay well, buddy. Always good having you on the show. Thanks, pal.
Keep Rob Thompson. I want Rob Thompson to stay.
All right, King. Stay well, man. Hey, no life advice today. Typically, we do life advice right around this time. Not doing it today for obvious reasons because we want to be totally zeroed in on the Phillies. When we do life advice, and we expect to do it next week, always brought to us by MHS Lift. If you're looking for forklifts, a warehouse efficiency assessment, any type of material handling equipment, or if your equipment needs repairs, go to MHSLift.com. So let's tackle that Rob Thompson topic the way we were just addressing it there. Not would you, do you think John Middleton will? Now, James, let's start with you. Do you think John Middleton will fight? Because I'll say this, if you fire him, it would remind me a little bit of the Tony Dungy firing in Tampa. It's like this guy got me pretty far, a couple years in the playoffs, knocking on the door, but not the guy to get me over the top. That's when Gruden got hired, 20-ish years ago. James, do you believe Rob Thompson will be Dungied?
I don't. And I do think it'll be considered. Like, I think I'm sure they're talking about it. Like, I think it's a possibility. But if I had to bet, I would bet Rob Thompson keeps his job.
All right, Rhea, gut feeling, is Rob Thompson fired?
It depends on how long John Middleton's going to stay angry from last night. I mean, honestly, if like... Like, I'm always a 3-day person, like be really mad about a loss like this, like 3 days.
Let me just say this before you keep going. I don't expect a quick decision.
No.
Baseball
but it better not be, better not be 9 days like Sirianni. Right.
They don't like firings during the playoffs too.
Oh, that's true.
MLB has made it very clear to teams, like wait till after, if possible, wait till after the season to fire manager.
I will say no, but I think Middleton will demand changes.
Well, clearly.
Yeah.
Ben, do you think he's gone?
No.
John, do you think he's gone?
No, but I think that someone has to be the sacrificial lamb for the coaching staff, and it's going to be Kevin Long.
Oh, I think Kevin Long's way gone. Oh,
yeah. No question. Feels like it's a 99.9%er that he's gone. I just wonder who else goes with him.
All right, let's get a lot of calls in here. We'll get to the result of how people think whether he should or not be fired. We'll get to that shortly. Drew right now in Westchester. Good morning, Drew.
Hi, folks. Bad morning. Sorry, I can't say good morning back.
Yeah,
I don't usually get too fired up, but I got a kind of rant I'd like to go on at the end a little bit. But just a couple, legit points first. Yeah, I was at the game yesterday. Obviously it was horrible. I tried to bring the Phillies some luck, but I really think it turned on those two like JT at bats. When the Phillies were already up 1-0, but just couldn't get another run in. Like, that stadium was getting tight a little bit, and then the Mets got out of it, and they were right back into it. And I would move on from Topper. I don't have a lot of great examples, but I just kind of go back to like when the Red Sox kept getting close, but they had to move on from Grady Little and went to Terry Francona. I don't know. He can talk about like being resilient all he wants, but our last three elimination games, I think we've scored a total of 4 runs. So like something has to change with the culture and everything here.
Yeah, listen, it's a really fascinating conundrum because they have won more than most teams big picture in 3 years, games, but they may have hit a wall culturally. where it just may not be the right mix in there anymore, and he may be part of that. My inclination is to bring him back, Drew, but I recognize it's not unwarranted to consider firing him.
And I just think to that point,
By the way, Drew, let me say this. Particularly if you can't trade as many of these players as people might want. See, it's one thing to say trade the dudes, but if you can't trade Trey Turner, and you got him, and you got this guy, and you got that guy, and you got that guy, just because it's hard to get rid of them, you know, the argument could be, and again, this goes to the Dallas Green thing. I mean, Dallas Green was brought in 79, largely with the same players, for the most part, that had missed the playoffs, been in the playoffs, but missed out on the postseason advancing. So maybe, and this was what the Dungy thing was with John Gruden. I mean, it was basically the same. John, you know the deal. It was the same team. John Gruden went with the same team.
He did.
I mean, Brad Johnson instead of Sean King.
They went from a defensive focus to an offensive focus. They didn't have the greatest quarterback in the world, but now they had a system that they could utilize the run game to set up the play action and the passing game that was effective enough. The defense, you knew the players were solid.
And they were a great defense, but here's where
the
analogy...
they were almost on autopilot on that side because Dungy had coached them up so well and they had, you know, elder leadership amongst the players.
True. Where that analogy works for me and the Dallas Green analogy works for me is maybe these guys just need more of a kick in the ass. And I know Ben's saying that Rob Thompson privately handles business hard.
He does.
But maybe he needs to publicly handle business.
Yeah,
hard.
Maybe not trust his guys publicly as much. And again, to Drew's point, like if I hear him call these guys resilient one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. Because you know what? They are not resilient. That is inarguable. They are not a resilient group of players. Every time their backs are up against the wall, they fold. When
they're
not
front just running, that, for 4 months, they couldn't get it back on
when
track.
When they are front running, oh, everything's great. Look at the vibes. Like when the chips are down, when their back's against the wall, this team wilts.
Right. It's not called resilient when you're leading the pack and you're crushing everybody and doing really well. That's not resiliency.
Drew, interesting call. All right, let's go to Dan right now in Roxborough. Dan, good morning, pal.
Hey, how you doing, guys? First time, long time. John, Joe.
Thank you, Dan.
And, you know,
thanks for calling, buddy.
Yeah, honestly, it's a pleasure to talk to you guys, but I'm pissed off. Enough of this like trying to evaluate and, you know, break it all down and all this other stuff. Like, where's the heart? Where's the fight? Where's the anger? Like nobody's mad. Nobody's pissed off about this. Like, I know you guys are pissed, but you seem to be taking it a little bit easier than the whole Delaware Valley is. Like, it's like what? We were just set up to fail, like, from the beginning? Like, I didn't feel good about this since we started tanking, like, in the middle of July.
Yeah, I didn't have a good feeling for a good portion this year. I guess, listen, Dan, I think the two most angry here, we're all incredibly disappointed.
Oh, I'm pissed.
James, Ben, and Rhea are all, like, I guess, Dan, here's why maybe I'm a little more level-headed on it. I'm not surprised at all. On two different fronts. One, I saw for months the Phillies hadn't played great baseball. That's one.
Sure.
Two, and you guys know I've been saying this for years, I do think this system is tough for the team that gets the bye. And it's like, man, you can make the playoffs with 85 wins, and then you start cranking it up, and you beat that team that wins close to 100.
We made all fun of the Braves and the Dodgers for doing that. It's like that.
But I did it.
Yeah, no excuses, though. I'm just not using that as an excuse.
No, I understand.
Go out and win baseball games. Like the Yankees are up 2-1. The Dodgers fought back and won last night, you know?
I do know. That's right.
Yeah, but I think Topper needs to go. I've been saying it. Me and my cousins, we have a text group together. We've been talking about it. Like, I don't care. The coaching did not get these guys ready. They did not get them, you know, ready to play baseball, to have them in the right frame of mind, to be out there, to be competitors, to fucking go. I'm sorry. You had to dump me there. My apologies.
I got it.
We got you, Dan. We got you, man. Appreciate the call. Let's get to the Twitter poll question of the day.
Surprised that's the first time it happened.
I know.
Today.
First accidental curse. Didn't make the air, obviously. But all right. Twitter poll questions brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and at Armin Chevrolet, you'll be seeing pink all month long as they honor survivors, remembering those, of course, that have passed away, and we all hope for a cure. ArminChevy.com. All right. Let's deal with the series first before to can Rob Thompson or not. John, which hitter disappointed you the most in the playoffs?
Mm-hmm.
Who do you think won the poll? Boehm, Bryce, JT, Trey?
Boehm.
Wow.
He did not. Trey won it considerably. 47% Trey, 19% Bohm, 25% JT, 9% Price.
That's pretty major.
That's what it should be. I think that's the correct order of blame of those guys.
I would put Bohm above
ahead
JT.
Of JT. Excuse me. You're right. But Trey should be out in front there. Yeah, I think that is absolutely correct.
That's right. All right. Which pitcher disappointed you the most? John, how do you think this one came in? Estevez, Hoffman, Nola, Strom.
Hoffman.
He does. 68% Hoffman, 15% Strom.
Man.
9% Hoffman by a mile.
9% Nola, 8% Estevez.
We thought he was almost infallible. We thought Hoffman was the guy who could just shut
you
down. Well,
so was Strom. I mean, I got to tell you, I don't separate Strom and Hoffman much at all in this poll. Now, Hoffman's got recency bias where it was last night. I mean, let's be real. Early in the series, Strom was a fiasco. I mean, game one, Zach Wheeler's got the game, and then both of them screwed it
up. Those two were locked down.
I know they were.
Relievers throughout the course of the season.
It almost doesn't
even
compute.
Locked down. All chips
as middle
in.
Middle relievers.
Yeah, I know.
You're all right. Chips are in.
It's almost like my brain can't really compute that part. Like that early in this series, they failed so miserably.
The whole series.
Because they did. They
truly the incredible thing about some of these relievers, their ERA is not Hoffman, who has an ERA at 40 in the series. But some of these guys, their ERAs don't look nearly as bad as they pitch because inherited runners scored.
Yeah, right.
Like Kirkring was giving up inherited runners left and right.
He sure was.
I mean, like that doesn't count against his ERA, but I mean,
Kirkring
he's got a roll
in
it.
Postseason Kirkring, now last year it was like, holy cow, we had no idea who this guy even was, yet he was thrust into high leverage spots. I don't know why, just right in there. It's been bad. Kirkring in the postseason has been nowhere close to what the team, the organization, expected they would get.
Well, that we expected, given what he did for 6 months. I mean, bottom line is he was a really good pitcher for 6 months. His ERA was under, I think, under two, right around there. And then the playoffs came. And I mean, who did anybody pitch well out of the bullpen in the playoffs?
No.
No.
I think it is no, right? I mean, Ruiz wouldn't be a yes.
No, definitely not.
And that one guy, Tanner Banks, got in there one time.
Yeah.
Whatever that was,
that
I don't even
guy,
remember.
That was
Tanner Banks.
When they were losing by like six runs or whatever in game
one. He was a deadline pickup guy, and he's that guy.
Right, that's a good point, though. Another one.
And Alvin, well, that was because you were down by so much. And it's just
Rhea's just more making the point that you traded for that guy at the deadline to help you, and he's pitching meaningless. Yeah. Have you looked at the list of deadline acquisitions Dave Dombrowski has made?
Not very good.
Listen to this. Ready? This is his trade deadline acquisitions. Ian Kennedy, Kyle Gibson, Hans Kraus, Freddie Galvis, Braden Ogle, Brandon Marsh, Noah Syndergaard, David Robertson, Michael Lorenzen, Rodolfo Castro, Carlos Estevez, Tanner Banks, Seth Johnson, Austin Hayes, Moises Chassé. Like, that's a disaster.
Yeah, that's bad. That's horrible. You're right. That's horrible. All right, the big poll we were driving at, and I'm sure we'll get into this more tomorrow. Should the Phillies fire Rob Thompson? Let's all go on the record right now. I'm open-minded to it, but I go no. But I am open-minded to it, but my instincts are no. Rhea?
Yes.
James?
Yeah, I'm not like, pounding the table for it, but if it were my decision, I would fire.
Ben?
No.
You feel pretty strong about that, don't
Very
you?
Very strong.
And just tell me why.
Too.
He went to the World Series, he went to the NLCS, and then he went to the NLDS in his first 3 years as a manager.
So next year won't make the playoffs if the trend continues.
What about not with that attitude,
Ben,
James.
Ben, what about these two arguments? Because I'm with you, Ben, but what about these two arguments? He is handed a roster. It's very expensive, so you're supposed to get pretty far.
Mm-hmm.
And he does have some whopper of bad decisions come October.
I wouldn't say whopper bad decisions, but
I would.
He's had players that have extremely underplayed what they should have been doing. He's not out there overthrowing every baseball like the relievers have in this series. He's not over there swinging at balls in the dirt like every hitter has for the most part in this series.
Okay.
It's not on him.
But when they do it last postseason, doesn't at a certain point, like the manager has to get in their faces and say, don't freaking swing. Like, dude, like again, we just heard Trey Turner say that they knew not to swing and they went up there and did it anyway. Like at a certain point, something has to be done here. Like someone has to do something to get these players on track. Like that's the manager's job at the end of the day. And if it were just one postseason, fine. This is three straight postseasons.
I know not to eat fast food 3 times a day, otherwise I'm going to get fat. That's on me. That's on me.
Yeah.
Right?
I think you're simplifying it.
I'm not oversimplifying it. That's on me. As a player, I know I try not to swing at pitches in the dirt. If I continue to do that, that's on me. I can have many voices in my head.
Well, then sit Trey Turner down.
Okay.
Yeah, seriously. Like, do something, man. Roll out the same lineup.
Well, he did change the lineup quite a bit.
He sat home because he had to, yes.
But, I mean, he sat a lot of guys. I mean, the lineup was being moved a lot. John, your personal opinion to fire the manager or not?
I would not fire him.
All right, how do you think people voted online?
I think everyone is mad, so 67% say fire him.
Do you think the Phillies should fire Rob Thomson? 49% say yes.
Huh.
51% say no.
Okay.
We are split.
Yeah.
It sets up for a fascinating offseason. It really does. Well, what an incredibly disappointing loss. I mean, that's a big one in the history of Philly sports, man. That's a big one. You only get so many cracks at this, particularly when almost the entire team is healthy. You know, no idea whether Zach Wheeler is going to be healthy 12 months from now.
That's the most critical of the season he had this year.
Right?
You know, you might not ever get that again.
Yeah,
and we haven't
not.
Even talked about the fact that it's the freaking Mets, man.
Yep.
Like after the freaking Mets.
After the Knicks thing.
Yep. At which you said, you said it.
What?
That was a possibility, you know, the potential to lose to both. Yeah, it's brutal.
All right, let's listen to Rob Thomson. He talked about the journey this year, and there is an aspect of what he said I really don't like. I don't know if he's trying to cover for the guys or not. Make your own judgment. Here's Rob Thomson after the game.
You had such an emphasis on getting off to a fast start this year, and you got out to the big lead. Is there any sense that it was hard to maintain the edge once you guys got out to that big lead?
Well, it's something to look at for sure, but my sense in the clubhouse with our players was that they never lost their edge. They may have gotten tired over the course of the year, but everybody does at some point. But the thing that we did do during the middle part of the year or first third, we had some injuries and guys stepped up, and that's when we really kind of took off. But then we fell off a little bit in the middle there. But I don't categorize that as losing their edge. I don't think those guys did.
So, Ben, is he covering for the guys when he says that, or does he mean that?
No, he means it.
But how can you be on pace for the best record of all time for 2 months and then be .500 for 4 months and convince me that
and lose in the playoffs like that and then say that? Yeah.
Like, how's that possible?
Well, I think them winning the NL East was inevitable.
Clearly, we knew that.
And
no
I think
doubt.
They were just playing the schedule out.
Their edge, though, right? Isn't that exactly what that is?
I would say they lost their edge. And the thing is, I wouldn't say this probably is going to sound funny, but I wouldn't say they got complacent. I think they got comfortable. Like,
and
They still wanted to do well. But if it didn't, it was like, okay, we'll get them more. Getting complacent is they just don't care at all.
Was the lead bad for them in the end? Were they Jahlil Okafor? Here's what I mean. Jahlil Okafor was the best 12-year-old in America at basketball.
Mm-hmm.
He was the best 13-year-old in America at basketball. He was the best 14-year-old in America at
basketball. Or at least he was told that, that's the way.
No, he actually was.
Well,
he was. He was one of them. He was the third pick in the draft.
Who knows? But you get the point. He is clearly one of the greatest 12-year-olds in the world, and that continued. And then when it was time for him to actually face competition that had improved and was making adjustments, he didn't have it in his bag.
Right.
Were they too good too early for their own good?
No, I think it was still in their bag, but I just think it's – and the one issue that I had – I was talking to Hugh during commercial about this. The one issue I had with the comments that were made last night, and I love JT, but he said we just thought – and he was very honest. He said we thought we could – when the lights got turned on, we thought we could turn it on. You can't do that in baseball because it's too damn hard.
Jeez. Well, why is it
it's
that
too
I
hard to do?
Ben, let me ask you.
You just can't flip a switch in baseball. It doesn't happen that way.
Let me ask you this about the bye. You guys know last week I was pretty hardcore about this. Everyone disagreed with me. I'm going to bring it back. Should they have played 3 hardcore simulated games? Because my thing was, I think they have a better chance to win the World Series risking injury, but maintaining timing at the plate. I would have played them real 9-inning games Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. Maybe I have to bring in some spring training guys, minor league guys, to be pitchers for some of them because I can't burn my pitchers. But I would have had them face live hitting 3 days in a row to maintain the edge on hitting, and I think it was a mistake that ended.
I think the layoff had more effect on the relievers than the hitters. How did the hitters do the last 3 weeks of the regular season?
Well, they didn't hit well.
Exactly. So that was just a complete carryover into the playoffs. But I think the relievers had more of an effect. I think they were in a rhythm. They were in a rhythm, in a rhythm. All of a sudden, 6 days off.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, then they got to ramp it back up again. And they were overthrowing everything.
Well, maybe
that's
they
a clear-cut sign that layoff had more effect on the relievers than the offense, because the offense was stagnant going into the playoffs.
Maybe the relievers should have been in those simulated games more than I had thought, because I didn't like the idea of, other than this one random, I think it was like Wednesday or something, like, let's just shut it down for a week. I thought that was not smart. All right, let's go to the phones. Angelo in Pottstown. Angelo, good morning. All right, Angelo's not ready. We go to Sean. He's calling from Northeast Philadelphia. Good morning, Sean.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Hey, Sean.
Well, not really good morning after that debacle last night. Thoroughly embarrassing, and major changes need to be made to this team. Break up that babysitting club, whatever they want to call themselves. Marsh is not a major leaguer. There's Rojas. Get rid of Bohm. Get rid of him. You've got to make changes. Also, JT. As much as I like JT, if there's a lesson to be learned from the 08 team, you cannot hold on to somebody.
Yeah. The one thing, though, Sean, he's got 1 year left on his deal. I mean, no one's saying re-sign him. I think you can get by bringing him back as your catcher and just lessening the burden on him.
Marshawn is...
And Marshawn's going to play a lot.
He's a valuable talent, and we don't know exactly how much we can use him. Ben, how much is Marshawn utilizable, I guess, by this team?
That's a good word, utilizable.
Is that even?
I don't know if that's a word.
No, he's definitely an asset to a ball club, but he's got to stay healthy. I mean, this guy is, and we're not hedging, World Series on Marshawn next year. But I think he would provide a little bit more protection for JT.
Yeah, but Sean,
he's got to stay healthy.
Sean, your point on Marsh though resonates with me. He's just not good enough. Now I know he's only 26. So theoretically, he should improve a bit.
He made a real jump early, right away.
He did.
And then it stagnated.
Totally.
I don't know why that is.
Sean, I think the two guys of the young guys I was most disappointed in this season are Stott and Marsh. Because I'm like, man, I thought these guys were going to be Phillies for 8 years.
But
and now
I believe
I'm like,
in Stott, and I will continue. I want to keep him around because I know that it will be better. I believe it
will be I don't know
be
that
better.
It will be, John.
I don't know that with Marsh, I have the patience to keep him around the same way I do with Stott.
Look, here's the way I look at it. Stott's a bigger issue because he was supposed to be a guy that could be an all-star. Marsh was never perceived as such. But Stott was the guy. It's like, hey, this guy might hit 300.
Who were the young players who got better?
Is Hoffman young?
No, he's closer to 30.
And is Strom? Strom's not young, right?
Strom signed for next year.
I guess Christopher Sanchez re-in, that's probably
Sanchez,
it.
And that's, so that would be a pitching coach.
That's probably
he got,
safe.
Yeah. He got better in a big way. Yeah.
No, I think pitching, the pitching coach did a great job. I don't think Caleb Cotham is a problem.
I mean, Rojas hasn't gotten better. Pache didn't before they dumped him. Stott really did
none
not.
Of the bats have, but the pitching has. I mean, yeah, like even I mean, Jeff Hoffman came from nowhere and they turned him into something. Yeah. And Strom was like a nice pitcher away. Strom got $7.5 million a year. Like, you know,
Rhea, where
the
are
bat
you?
Development has been problematic because it just has not happened.
Rhea, where are you on Stott?
I feel like there's something there. I really do. Just, because obviously I love his, I like his defense, but he's got to hit better.
Let me say this. Here's what he may be, and I mean this is no disrespect to one of my favorite Phils when I was young. He may be Juan Samuel, and here's what I mean. Not as far as discipline, because Sammy was undisciplined at the plate, but athletically superior to most players. But Sammy was someone when he came up in 84, it's like,
look at this guy.
Look at this guy.
Mm-hmm. You're like 70-something
right?
steals.
It's 72
awesome.
Steals as a rookie. So stylistically a different player, but it's like, look at this guy. And then, he was a player for, 10 years or so, but like he was never an impactful, massively successful Major League Baseball
that
player.
That is possible. I will say that we do see this a lot with younger players where they'll have a bump up and they'll kind of take a leap and then they'll have a year where they go back. Next year, I think will tell us who Bryson Stott is.
I mean, it was year three and it was Ben, Bryson Stott. You concerned?
I am concerned, especially with the bat speed. It doesn't seem like he can catch up to a fastball.
And that's a problem.
It is a problem, especially at the big league level, because you look at the radar gun and everyone's hitting 95 or better. Mm. And I'm not saying he can't catch up to a fastball, but it's like an average fastball. Like, I've seen him beat on 92, 93. And that's a problem with what I see.
I think my two biggest concerns from this year as it relates to the future, the big picture future, and I don't even mean just next year, I mean the next 5 years, are Trey Turner and Bryson Stott.
Trey Turner, bullet number one in bold in all caps.
But I thought Stott was headed toward being pretty freaking awesome.
But Stott's still young, and they're not paying him a ton of money.
I understand.
Like Stott, Trey Turner is heading into, you know, the later years, so to speak, and he's got 9 years left. That
I know.
You know, $250 million or whatever.
I know. All right, let's do what we do every day at this time.
The time is yours.
Can't wait.
Unlike everyone else, we actually check our voicemail. Tell us what you want to say. The time is yours.
Time's yours.
All right, time's yours, brought to us by Xfinity Mobile, the sponsor of WIP's Xfinity Mobile Lounge. Xfinity Mobile customers now get exclusive access to Wi-Fi speeds up to a gig on the go. Let's hit it with Time's Yours.
It's the fifth inning. The Phillies are clinging, I mean clinging, to a one-run lead. All I know is Turner just flailed, struck out. I don't want to see him in a Phillies uniform after this year. Please.
Well, you will, man. I mean, that is an impossible contract to trade, and so he's here.
Hey, guys. I'm really sad. I called yesterday. I said the bats are cold, and this is old now. The window did shut. 22, 23, we were there. The electricity was gone. There's just the connection was lost.
Disagree. Window's not shut. Window has is you know, shutting a little bit, and it's but it's not shut. I mean,
it
guys,
bad. It looked bad the way it ended.
You could say
for this exact group, like this thing with the vibes and those players and the vibe, chief
that.
Vibe officer and all. I think that's done.
I think that stuff is done.
You need new windows.
Yep.
Well, we got our clocks cleaned by our divisional rival, but hey, at least the vibes in the locker room were good and the playlist was thumping. Way to go, boys.
I didn't know that was coming next for what is. I really didn't. That's so funny.
Yep.
JT! How many more wins? JT! JT! Does anyone know where JT is? So he sucks.
You know, that's an interesting call, man. It's interesting.
This Phillies team has officially broken me, and I don't know what to do. I don't know how I feel about him. You've broken me, Philadelphia. You've broken me.
Well,
wow,
all I can
how
tell
you
is
feel about him.
Jalen Hurts better play a good game Sunday, man. I mean, he really better
no
play
pressure.
A good game.
None.
Holy smokes.
Moments like this, man, just really make it suck to be a Philadelphia fan. And out of everybody, Jimmy, man, I'm so sorry for you, man. I really feel for you.
For
I'm
you?
Thinking for
what is
me?
It, man, what is it feeling for you for?
I don't know.
Appreciate it. I feel for all of us.
What the hell? What
Joe,
about me?
Hey, Joe, I feel for you, buddy.
Thank you.
I really do.
Thank you. It stinks for all of us.
I feel for all of us. This sucks.
I feel the most for the kids.
It's horrible.
I really do.
I'm with you. I totally agree.
I know what it's like to be 12 years old and go to bed crying.
Yeah.
I know that.
No, dude, Joe Carter, I was 12 years old.
Yeah.
I was 12 years old
Ben,
for Joe Carter.
Ben, what was your that? What?
Oh, 93 team. Absolutely.
Did you cry when the home run happened?
I didn't cry, but I was...
Bald.
That got my
eyes
up, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah. Yeah. I get it, man.
You know, this is just, it stinks for everybody. Last night, I'm driving home after work. I'm listening to TK, Tom Kelly on WIP. And one caller called in and said, yeah, I don't feel like watching any sports anymore. I mean, that's how much it. He goes, I don't want to watch the Eagles this weekend. I know the Flyers are starting. I don't want to watch them. I don't want to watch the Sixers. Like, my heart goes out to the fans, and I'm one of them.
I know.
It sucks.
It does. It does.
It sucks.
It does. All right, with that, time's yours. We shut it down.
The time's yours line. Leave Joe and John a message of your thoughts, compliments, and complaints. Call 215-233-4500.
Let's do a post-mortem. Look, we're going to do a lot more of this tomorrow, okay? But let's all have one final crack at it. About 20 seconds each person. Rainier, we're starting with you. Just 20 seconds wrapping this thing up.
I can't watch that lineup again. I can't sit there and watch the way they approach the plate. I need them to be professionals. If Topper comes back, I need them to hold him accountable. The pitching, the bullpen, I think that can be easily fixed. You know, I think that was just a mess right there. They have to fix the way these guys approach the plate.
Well said, James.
I started off the day mad, and now I'm sad. You know, like that, just thinking about how fun this little thing was, you know, and to your point, I do agree the window's not over. Like, they can make changes and they can still compete.
They got great starting pitching.
They got great starting pitching, yeah. And they have players, they have money and all that, but but this thing's been special. Like, this is, it brought it back after a really long time and reminded us what Red October and what the Phillies mean to this city. And I'm really bummed today that it feels like that part of it is over.
Ben?
Yeah, I'm just ticked off. I agree with Rhea more than anything that this lineup, it has to be better. The approach has to be better. They have to get back to doing the simple things. And that is, you know, not striking out as much, staying in the middle of the field, just being more professional up there instead of flailing and wailing. It's yeah. Obviously, it's not getting the job done. The offense has to be better, and it's in there to get better.
John?
Just take some pitches. You know, and Rob Thompson, Kevin Long, do they still hear your voice? Just be smart. You guys, why is it? Keep your bat on your shoulder. Wait. Make them pitch to you. Why is it? I don't know. Like, maybe next year, I guess. If you're here. Who's going to be here next year? I don't know. But I never imagined that we would just lie down the way it felt like we just lain down. I don't know how to even say that. It hurts a lot. That postseason experience was so much shorter than I ever expected it would be. That's broken to me. That needs to be fixed. This team needs to be fixed. And it's going to be so massively different.
Here's where I'm at. I'm incredibly sad. I'm not really that surprised, but I'm incredibly sad, both for ourselves for this season, but this era, because I think we now view the Phillies differently. And I didn't want to have to view them differently, but we now have to. So look, it's an incredible bummer. It sets up a fascinating offseason. They're clearly not done. You know, this team's going to make the playoffs again next year. But man, as Rhea said, they got to retool things, and the primary thing is the lineup.
The season could have been so great.
Oh, they could have won the World Series. And one of the biggest things to do in life that you hate to do is waste something. They wasted a great chance. Everyone, thanks for being with us all baseball season. To a certain extent, it rolls on tomorrow because we got to keep cleaning it up. Eagles, we'll get to it eventually. But look, do the best you can to manage today and keep listening here at WIP. Joe-